Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the second tier preview show brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks and it's the Derbyshire to my Rome. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
I tell you what, Justin, no country does post-holiday come-downs better than the UK. It really hits home that your holiday is over when you're stuck in traffic on the M25 in the early hours of the morning and it's pissing it down. But hey, good to be back, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that maybe potentially listeners might also say that. You know, it's been a nice week with you gone from the country, but you are right. The UK is a dump. Italy is so much better. Is that what you were saying, basically? I think that's what you were getting at.
I think that's what I was getting at. I don't think the whole country was rejoicing that I was out of the country. It's not like the whole country was aware of this. And I don't think the whole population is much better off without me there. But look, I've had my international break. I'm now fully refreshed for the business end of the season. And that's what we're here to talk about today. Peachy boy, welcome to the number one championship podcast, the second tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Well, look, it's time for us to make some predictions, Justin. That's what the title of the episode says, and that's exactly what we're doing here. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing today is making our predictions for who's winning the league, who's going up automatically, who's finishing in sixth place, who's going down, and who's finishing as top goal scorer. It's an international break, so we're going to put our necks on the line for just the sheer enjoyment of the listener, Justin. And we'll probably come back to bite us on the arse, but you know what? That's what we're here to do. We're here to make some bloody predictions, aren't we? And look, it's a long time since we had a title race, promotion race, playoff race and relegation battle all to be decided still at this stage and all still so hard to call, right?
Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult. There are so many teams in for so many things at the moment. You've got almost the bottom six outside of Rotherham at the bottom of the table fighting relegation, who could get easily pulled back into things.
And the rest.
And the rest, the bottom six are maybe not doing those teams that are above them a bit of a service. And you've got the playoffs. West Brom might have tied up fifth, but again, that's not out of the question that they could lose a few games and the likes of Coventry, Preston, other teams before I forget them, get pulled into it. And then the automatics and title. The title race is making me salivate just thinking about it. Because again, when was the last time we had a full-on title race? We might not have a title race. Leeds could run away with it. Leicester could run away with it. But to be at this stage in this season and for everything to be on the line, woo-hoo. Ooh, baby, yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah, it made me woohoo as well. I mean, the last time I can recall anything like this was the 1920 season when the top two was still up for grabs, as was the playoffs and relegation battle. However, Leeds have pretty much wrapped up the title by this point. So It really is the first time in a while where we've had a situation like this where pretty much everything is still up for grabs. And it's so exciting. And look, every prediction I've made here, I've done with so little certainty because it's just so tight in so many different areas that you can't really make any confident calls at this stage, can you?
No, I'm that Larry David meme where he's going, he's just conflicted, and it's the same with everything. I can't make a 100% convinced decision on who's going down, who's finishing the playoffs, and who's going up. I can say Rotherham are going down. That's the only one I can really, really, really say, obviously, for very obvious reasons. Other than that, I think it's anyone's game because, again, you go to that bottom of the table, teams pick up points when other teams pick up points. They drop points when other teams drop points. No one's pulling away from it. I mean, Millwall have done a good job. Swansea have done a good job. But even so, Millwall are only 4 points above the bottom three. So it's anyone's game. And it's the same with the playoffs and the automatics.
Yeah. Well, the playoffs, it looks like West Brom will be there. Southampton are pretty much there, assuming they're essentially out of the automatic promotion race now, but then everything else is still well to play for, isn't it? It really is so tight in so many different areas. But look, let's make our predictions, Justin. I will kick things off with the relegation battle, which is one of the craziest I can remember in a long time. Rotherham, as we were just saying, they're gone. We know that. But it's utter carnage above that. Just 5 points separates 23rd and 16th. Only two separate 22nd and 18th. That's how bloody tight it is right now. So, Justin, we'll start with you. Who are you picking as the other two teams to be joining Rotherham in League One next season?
Here we go. I'm going with Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, I think, is probably the most obvious one. I mean, they are 23rd and have been in the bottom three for virtually all of the season. Have they got out of the bottom three? I don't think they have.
No. I think they may have been out of it at the very first game of the season, but I think other than that, they have been bottom three all season.
When they played on Friday night.
Yes. Well, I mean, after that as well. I think they may have been out after the first week of games, but apart from that, that's it.
Even so, it's not been a comfortable season. It's been one of many, many roller coasters for very various reasons. Mr. Chansiri will know a lot about them. But I think with Sheffield Wednesday and me being a little bit more certain with them to go down, Wednesday needs to put together a run of form again. They went on a really good run of form sort of January, February time, and they made up a points gap, but they've got to continue that run of form. So the questions are, are they going to run out of steam? Are they going to lose legs? I mean, you've only got to go to the previous game before the international break, losing 6-0 away at Ipswich. Ipswich were sensational on the day. That is a caveat. But maybe that was the start of this team running out of gas. I think that's the only thing. That being said, they've got a good crop of young players who have shone in recent weeks. They've got Misaba, Ikiukbo, Deshaun Bernard. You know, a lot of players, James Beadle in goal as well, a lot of players have come to the fore. But it's just whether it's enough to get them out of the bottom three and essentially enough to be better than the teams above them. I just have doubts whether that's the case. I love Danny Rawle. I think he's a superb manager. I think he's amazing. And I think he will get an incredible job should he leave Wednesday at the end of the season. Or if he stays on, I think it will bring him back up to League One. I'm just not convinced. I think Isco Munoz did so much damage to the team that it's going to be a little bit too much for Wednesday.
What about Stoke then?
Yeah, with Stoke, hugely worried for them. They're a side who do not develop any consistency at all. Had a hard fought win, for example, before the international break against Middlesbrough, and then against Preston, followed it up with defeats. They're the most hapless, and they were hapless against Norwich. They scored just 35 all season. Not prolific at conceding goals, but they're not the most creative, and definitely the absolute worst when it comes to conversion. There's so many variables working against Stoke and Steven Schumacher at the moment that I can't foresee them again being better than the teams around them. Birmingham changed managers, QPR a little bit more consistent. Plymouth maybe might get dragged into it, but for me, Stoke, the least convincing out of the rest.
Interesting. Well, when I was making my predictions, I did a process of elimination because I think that's the best way to do it. I don't think it'll be Millwall. I think they've got the momentum with them now to get away from the bottom three. Blackburn are winless in 9, but also hard to beat under John Eustace. And you'd have thought they would get a couple of wins on the board eventually to keep them safe. I believe Birmingham should be all right now that they pressed the button on getting Gary Rowett in. Plymouth have been really poor recently, but I will blindly put faith in them being able to make the right decision on the manager and still having the talent in the squad to keep them safe. And then I don't have a huge amount of confidence in Stoke, but they seem to have a habit of living dangerously and being all right in the end. And I think that's the most likely scenario again this season. So that leaves Wednesday, QPR and Huddersfield. And look, I've said them pretty much all season, so I'm going to stick with Wednesday and QPR. Both have been in pretty good form recently, but it won't take much for that to change with these two because we've seen that happen on plenty of occasions this season. QPR's last 4 games are all against sides in the top 9 as well, which, if you are a QPR fan, must worry you quite a bit. Huddersfield's fixtures, on the other hand, are rather favourable. Sheffield Wednesdays are pretty good as well, actually, but I wonder if they may have used up their win quota for the season in February and March. So that's what I'll go for. But look, I'm saying that with little confidence. Even the teams I've crossed out, I'm not doing so with much confidence and could easily see them going down. But if you're asking me for the teams that I think are the most likely, I'm saying Wednesday and QPR. Both have made two managerial appointments, which have been very positive, and both have done really good jobs. But I still won't be surprised to see them both go down, just because I think the squads that they have available to them are still pretty thin on the ground, pretty thin in terms of quality as well. So I would say they're the most likely for me, Justin.
Yeah, I'm going to take issue with QPR. I really am. I can't find any logic that suggests that they're going to be one of those teams that are going to be in the bottom three come the end of the season.
Any logic,
to be honest with you. Again, I
But Justin, I'm coming from a place of where I'm saying they're the most likely. I'm not saying anyone is definitely not going down, because I can't rule anyone out. I think you're being pretty strong if you're completely ruling them from going down.
I'm not completely ruling them from going down, but I have
more faith. That's what you're saying.
No, I have more faith in the likes, more faith in Plymouth, Stoke, Huddersfield to go down than I do QPR.
Okay.
If I look at the numbers, let's say, they've won a decent amount of numbers. They're ninth for most points this calendar year in the whole division. So that's more than Huddersfield, Plymouth, Stoke, Birmingham and Blackburn. They've also conceded less goals than those teams as well. So they are a solid outfit compared to those teams. And they've got the stardust as well. They've got the Chris Willick, Elias Chair, Lucas Anderson, who stepped up and been brilliant. Solid experience back line. I don't look at Huddersfield and go, where's your Chris Willick? Where's your Elias Chair? Who's going to edge a tight game for you? I just can't see it.
Sorba Thomas?
One player who isn't as prolific at scoring goals or having those moments as Elias Chair. And also, I don't think Sorba Thomas has a reliable execution of players with him. He's not got a goal scorer. He's only got Michael Helic from set pieces. So I just...
Do QPR have a goal scorer though? Linda Dykes is... It's just been shocking for years, hasn't he?
Yeah, Lyndon Dykes is good for 9 goals a season. That's the type of forward he is. He'll do his bit outside of that, but he's not prolific. And you are right, QPR aren't possessing a goal scorer. Sinclair Armstrong's been in the goals in recent weeks, not prolific, but I don't think you'll get any team that are down there other than Blackburn who are a prolific goal scorer, and obviously Morgan Whittaker at Plymouth.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to disagree with you, Justin. As I say, I'm approaching this with very little confidence, and Huddersfield's recent form is a massive cause for concern. And Andre Breitenreiter seems to have, you know, taken issue with some quite talented players at Huddersfield for some reason, which is not what you want at this stage in the season. So it wouldn't surprise me if Huddersfield went down instead of QPR. It wouldn't surprise me if Wednesday stayed up ahead of both of them as well. That's just how bloody tight it is down there. And it's so hard to call, because you are essentially, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard and seeing what comes out any other end, really. But it's really interesting to see what SBK's odds are for relegation. They think it's going to be Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield. Wednesday are 1-3 to go down. Huddersfield are 10-11. Birmingham are next at 21-20. Then it's my other pick of QPR at 6-5. Justin's pick of Stoke to go down is a pretty chunky 7-2. So get on it, Peachy. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. So those picks again, I went for Wednesday and QPR. That's 1-3 and 6-5 respectively for that. Justin's pick of Stoke to go down is 7-2 with SBK. So here's how the race for the playoffs looks, which we'll talk about next, Justin. It looks pretty likely that West Brom will be there, bar a dramatic collapse. They're on 66 points. But then it appears to be a four-horse race between Norwich, Coventry, Hull and Preston for sixth place. Norwich are currently sixth on 61 points. Hull are next with 58 points, then Coventry on 57, Preston on 56. But those three who I've just mentioned all have a game in hand on Norwich. So it's really, really tight around sixth place at the moment. I think it's probably a good bet to say it's going to be someone whose name ends in City, though. I think that's the only thing in this whole episode which I can say with much confidence, Justin. Who are you going for as the sixth place come the end of the season, Peachy?
Norwich City. I'm going with a City. Norwich City. Not Preston City. Norwich City. I'm really keen on Norwich. I really, really am. And as I said in previous episodes, I'm the one that stuck by Mr. Wagner. I'm the one that told the club to keep the faith. I've said all of this, and Norwich are now reaping the rewards. So by all means, give me the freedom of the city if Norwich go up. I don't mind that. And I think with Norwich, it all depends on three key variables here: Gabriel Sara, Josh Sargent, and Boyer Sainz. Johnny Rose coming back to full fitness after a hamstring injury might be back before the end of the season, but we can't add too much pressure on him between now and the end of the end of the campaign. If he's fit for the playoffs, that's a bonus. But look at that firepower: Sara, Sargent, and Sainz. Sara's creative ability, 21 goal contributions, the ability to score from anywhere outside the box is disgustingly consistent. He's fantastic, and it's proving to be a really good capture from Stuart Webber last season. And then Josh Sargent, again, hoping his ankle injury isn't that serious, and he is fit, he is back fit come the end of the international break. So 13 goals in 18 games. To have that level of consistency in your players, especially in your spine, is tremendous. And again, they've got experience all the way through the squad. Shane Duffy at the back, Ben Gibson, Angus Gunn's been a really, really good underrated goalkeeper who we've probably not spoken about enough on this podcast. And again, you've got Kenny McLean, who's been ever-present, ever-green in central midfield. So they've got a lot of factors going for them, and I think they've got a little bit more experience as well than Coventry City do. That being said, Coventry City did literally lose a playoff final last season, so that might stand them in good stead. But I just think Norwich at home, they're exceptional. They're really good. I think the only problem I have with Norwich is their away form. It's not great. And they've got 5 games left away from home now, between now and the end of the season. So they pick up more points away from home. Home form's a given. Pick up more points away from home. Top six is a certainty.
Yeah, well, Norwich have 2 of the best players in the league, don't they? Gabriel Sarr and Josh Sargent. Just unbelievable players who are probably going to be playing in the Premier League at some point, and rightly so, because they're just absolutely phenomenal. And look, I thought Jonathan Rowe, losing him, would be such a huge blow for Norwich, but they actually seem to be playing better without him, which is absolutely incredible. But yeah, they have completely proven me wrong when it comes to their top six credentials, and they're probably going to run it down right to the wire. And fair play to David Wagner for that. With regards to my pick, I find it really difficult to choose one over the other here. I don't think it'll be Preston. I just think the other three have significantly more quality, so I'll rule them out. Norwich have been in unbelievable form recently. Gabriel Sara, Josh Sargent, as I was just saying, genuinely 2 of the best players in the league, and they have been flying. Coventry have been really good since Christmas and have some exceptional players of their own, while Hull have some very exciting players as well, and a really good manager in Liam Rosinia. I'm a bit concerned about the cheap points they've given away recently, though, so I won't pick them. That leaves Coventry and Norwich, and I'm just going to edge with Coventry. I think the Ben Shee factor is massive. He's back in the squad now after injury and is genuinely the best all-round midfielder in the division. He is phenomenal, and his return comes at such a good time from a Coventry City perspective, and he will just make them tick in midfield. Ellis Sims has found form with 10 goals in 8 games as well. That's come at a really good time. Hadji Wright is a mercurial striker who has been in good form recently too, but knows where the back of the net is, most of the time anyway. And they've also got the best defensive record out of the 3 teams, or the 4 teams, that we've mentioned here. So it's a really good set up at Coventry, and it's set up to be a really good end to the season for them. They've got to play 3 of the top 4, which is a bit of a concern, and I would also be more confident if they didn't have the distraction of a cup semi-final. But I like what's happening at Coventry, so I'll opt for them here. What do you think, Justin?
I'm more convinced with the relegation battle with the likes of Stoke and Sheffield Wednesday than I am with the playoffs. That being said, I think Norwich's 5 power probably edges it over Coventry for me. But I can't not, I have to love this Coventry team. It's impossible to not love them because of how bloody fantastic they've become over the course of the season. They really have developed. And they, it's that possibility of becoming a real cult team as well. Like, for example, getting to the FA Cup semi-final, and the way they did it with that last-minute winner from Hadji Wright was superb. I do think, though, that might be the distraction. And I don't think it's a case of it being a distraction like, oh, we're going to focus on the FA Cup. I think it comes down to squad size. Norwich and Coventry have, along with Watford, have used the least amount of players this season in 23. Obviously, the FA Cup has meant fixtures have needed to be moved. So there's two games now for Coventry that have got to be moved and got to be fitted in between now and the end of the season. It's a tight. There's only 6-7 weeks left of the season. A lot of games to play for a small squad. That might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. That's the one I was going for. I nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. That might be the straw that breaks the camel's back for Coventry. And that's why Norwich may just edge it over them.
Yeah. It is so hard to call. It really, really is. But I've got faith in Mark Robbins. You know, he's been at this stage before, literally last season. So hopefully he'll be able to juggle both that and the cup run. But from a neutral perspective, if you're back in Coventry, you have to admit that is a bit of a concern with the amount of games they've got to play and the distraction of the cup as well. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll reveal our picks for top goal scorer this season, as well as who the hell is going up.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Second Tier Podcast. So this is it. We're making our predictions before the end of the season. There's only 8 games left, or 9 games, depending on who you support. So not a lot of time left for teams to make up ground on other sides. And there's not a lot of time for players to score a lot of goals left, because that's what we're discussing next. It's who's going to finish as top goal scorer. So here's how things stand. You have Sammy Spodix leading the way with 21 goals. Next up is Adam Armstrong and Morgan Whittaker with 18. A bit further behind is Crescencio Somerville and Jack Clark, both on 15, although Clark is injured and is probably only going to play a handful of games between now and the end of the season, so it's probably not going to be him. Justin, who's your pick for top goal scorer?
I've gone with a home run. I think I've gone with Sammy Schmodix, the Schmod man. The Z is silent. He's defied the odds all season, hasn't he? He's been absolutely incredible. I've loved watching him. I've loved watching him develop. And he's not a young player. He's 28 years old. And he's become this mercurial forward for Blackburn. It is incredible to watch him thrive in that almost a false nine position. And I think, yeah, he deserves to be in contention for this, because he's got 21 goals this season. He's a top goal scorer at the moment. So that return for a midfielder is extraordinary. What makes me pick him above the likes of Adam Armstrong, Morgan Whittaker, I think they're the only two that could realistically catch him up. I think he only needs a couple of more goals, I think, to really, really solidify that place as top goal scorer. Yes, Rovers become a lot more frugal under John Eustace, so I think that rate of getting chances isn't quite there. But can I see him scoring 2-3, maybe 4 more? Absolutely. He's got a higher goal conversion percentage than Adam Armstrong and a better minutes per goal ratio as well. That's what makes me edge it a little bit. And he's the main man. Everything's got to go through Sammy Schmodix in that final third, whereas Adam Armstrong can be maybe forgiven a little bit for sometimes maybe being a passenger if he wants.
Yeah. Okay. Not sure about passenger. Passenger seems a bit harsh.
But he can. He's not relied upon. There are others. David Brooks has come in and been fantastic. Joe Rothwell's come in and been absolutely fantastic, scoring last minute goals. They've got talent, packed through their team. Che Adams.
Yeah. He's one of a number of goal scorers at Southampton, isn't he? Where Sammy Schmodics is essentially the goal scorer.
If Sammy Schmodics, I'm doing it now, Sammy Schmodics doesn't score, Rovers are fucked.
You Connolly came out there, didn't you?
Yeah, my Sammy Schmodics.
Sammy Schmodics, yeah, yes. I think the obvious answer here is Sammy Schmodics. I think it's definitely between Sammy Schmods and Adam Armstrong. I wouldn't completely rule out Crescencio Somerville. He has a habit of scoring in bursts, and when he has those bursts, they are quite productive. Having said that, making up for a 6-goal deficit at this stage of the season is admittedly a long shot. I don't think it'll be Morgan Whittaker, just because I think Plymouth have been... So
Ian Foster's killed them.
They've been less productive under Ian Foster, haven't they, than they had been earlier in the season. So I think it's definitely between Schmods and Armstrong, but I'm just going to edge it to Adam Armour. My thinking is Southampton have 2 games extra to play over Blackburn, which could just push him ahead. And if they want to still be in the automatic promotion race, they've got to go for it and be on the front foot in every game. So I can see that leading to loads of chances and therefore goals for Armstrong. I thought Blackburn's stodgy recent form might mean the goals dry up for Schmodzy, but apparently not. So that doesn't particularly help my cause here. However, Armstrong has scored in each of his last 2 games, so that may mean a run of form is just around the corner. And he's got to be firing, hasn't he, to make up with a 3-goal gap between him and Schmodics. So it is going to be a close one between these two, but I think Armstrong may just edge it in this case, Justin. What do you think?
It's an interesting one. I looked at everything. I completely forgot Southampton have got 2 games in hand on Blackburn. Yeah. So yeah. Now I'm just like, ah, shit, that might be the case. But it's still a lot of goals that I think Armstrong needs to make up. He's got to get six goals, I think, roughly, at least, to beat Schmodics. If Schmodics can pick up a couple between now and the end of the season, that's a fair amount of number. But to be fair, Adam Armstrong did score 7 in 9 at the start of the season. And Saints are free scoring at the moment because he scored 8 goals in their last 2 games. But he's only scored 2 of them. So Adam Armstrong is officially shit. No, I'm joking.
Jesus Christ.
I'm joking.
Take it too far sometimes, don't you? right. Well, looking at SBK's odds right now, they've got it pretty much down to a 3-horse race, as we're alluding to, although they think Crescencio Somerville may have an outside chance. He's 12-1. They have Justin's pick of Sammy Schmodics as the odds-on favourite at 20-21. My pick of Adam Armstrong is 21-10. Morgan Whittaker is the other horse in this race. He is 31-5. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. That again is Sammy Schmodics at 20-21. My pick of Adam Armstrong, 21-10. And if you do fancy Morgan Whittaker, he is 31-5 with SBK. Right, Justin. This is it. This is our prediction to win the league / get up automatically. And this week, instead of our usual bet builder or multiple with SBK, we're each placing a £10 bet on our title winner of choice, and we'll bring you the odds on that shortly. So here's how things stand in that regard. Leeds are top of the table by just 1 goal. They're on 82 points. Leicester are next, also on 82 points, but have a game in hand on Leeds. Then Ipswich are close up behind them. They're on 81 points in third place. Southampton are quite a way behind. They're on 73 points, but have got 2 games in hand on Ipswich and Leeds. So you can't completely rule them out, but that's admittedly a bit of a long shot at this stage. So, Justin Peach, let's have it, big boy. Let's have it. Who are you having first, and who are you having second to be automatically promoted and win the title in the Championship this season?
Next on the line, I'm going with Leeds to win the title and Leicester to pip Ipswich to go up automatically. It's a big call. It's a very, very, very big call, I think, for these two. But I think the momentum that Leeds have, I think they're winning with ease at the moment. They're just cruising. Defensively, they're a machine. They're the best side in the top six. I think that works for, well, that counts for something. They're incredible. Ethan Ampadu and Joe Rodon have been absolutely unreal at centre-half together. And that, again, really does, should count for something going into this bottom last six, last eight games, sorry. That's a huge, huge thing. Alan Road is bouncing and there's no sign of discontent from supporters. No labelling the club or style of play boring. I think that's a big thing. The fans are behind the club and that works its magic into the players. Daniel Fart knows a formula as well of creating that winning mentality at this stage of the season. His Norwich teams have done it and they've done it with ease. Now with Leicester finishing second and pipping Ipswich, I'm not 100% sure on this one. I think if Maresca, it comes down to Maresca needing to tweak things to get more out of his team, allowing them to be a little bit more fluid and less element and controlling, and maybe being a little bit more Ipswich. I think that might help matters. I think Ipswich can drop points. They're probably more likely to drop points, I think, going from this little mini season stage that we've got going on in the business end of the season. I think they've got more possibility of dropping points because that game management might just bite them in the arse at some point. But I'm saying that with discomfort. I'm not 100% sure on who's going to finish second. I think if you take Leeds out of that top two, yeah, you might be a bit balmy mad.
Didn't you have Leeds and Ipswich to finish in the top two on Sunday?
I think with Leeds is an obvious one, it's an easy one. With Leicester and Ipswich, you have a little bit more time to think about it. You sort of break down the logic a little bit and you go, actually, no, it might be Leicester. But then again, this is why I'm...
You're not the Tory government flip-flopping everywhere, Justin. What are you doing, man? You literally said on Sunday, this is it, I'm getting on the Ipswich going up tractor, and now you've bottled it.
It doesn't mean I'm getting up to go on it into second place. There's the playoffs, Ryan.
Yeah, but you said that it'll be Leeds and Ipswich, and you've changed your mind without any games being played. You've changed your mind in a matter of days.
What's happened is I've had a little bit more time to think about it in preparation for this episode, this wonderful, wonderful episode we're cooking together right now. I think with Ipswich, Maresca's got a lot of concerns there. And as I say, I'm not saying it with any certainty. Like you said with QPR, there's no logic that suggests QPR are going to go down.
Yeah, but Justin, I don't care about how much logic there is or how much confidence you've got in it. You literally said on Sunday, it'll be Leeds first, Ipswich second. And now you've changed your mind a few days later.
Again, it comes down to having a little bit more time to think about the logic of all of this. It's that game management aspect that I think might bite Ipswich in the arse. Because, I mean, the 6-0 win against Sheffield Wednesday was emphatic. It was controlled, but they're not going to get that every game, Ipswich.
Whereas, what do you mean game management?
Game management, winning games 4-3 in the last minute almost every week. I don't know how sustainable
that's
that can be.
It's pretty good game management, isn't it, when they've won the most points from losing positions this season?
It's one side of game management, but it's not stopping opposition from hurting you, is it? Look, I'm not saying Ipswich, I'm not completely ruling Ipswich out of second place. And no, I got on the tractor, if you like. But I just think with Leicester, I sit there and think if Maresca tweaks things, as I was saying, Wilfred indeed is coming back as well into the team. They've got a game in hand on Ipswich, which is going to play a part, hopefully, as long as they do their business. Then that might just be it. But I think it's going to be either down to goal difference or even a point. I just don't think it's going to be much that's going to separate these two teams, which is why I'm saying Leicester purely down, because Leicester have been in top two all season. Are they going to let that go with ease? I don't think they will.
Okay, well, I'm not flip-flopping, ladies and gents, but these are my picks for automatic promotion this season. I've gone Leicester to win the title, Ipswich Town to finish second. I've said these two all season, so I'm going to stick with them now. And this is more about me saving face over anything. It's so hard to call that I may as well stick to my guns. Because, look, Leeds have been in stunning form this calendar year. And right now, it's difficult to see them slowing down based off how well they've been playing. But it is very hard to maintain that form over long periods. And with eight games remaining, Leeds may find that to be the case as time goes on. And if they do, fair play to them. But that's my main fault that I give them here. It's the only logic I can really apply here because they have looked so good recently, admittedly. Leicester have been very shaky recently. That's undeniable. But we know about their quality, and they're too good a side for this wobble to last too long. As you mentioned, Justin, Wilfred Ndidi coming back into things is going to be so huge. I think he's just such an undervalued part of this Leicester system, which is quite a thing to say about someone who we all know is extremely talented, but I don't think he gets the appreciation he perhaps deserves. And all it takes is a couple of wins from a Leicester perspective, and everyone will be saying, what wobble, what wobble? And I also think the game in hand is significant as well. And that brings me on to Ipswich. Look, I've been aboard the Ipswich going up track all season. I'm not getting off now, am I? Not when we're this close. The odds aren't in Ipswich's favour here, but the thing is, the odds have been against them all season, and they just keep defying them. They've been against them when it comes to the financial power of the other three teams in this top four race, and they've still managed to match them blow for blow. And as good as Leeds have been recently, Ipswich are still just 1 point behind. It's a lot closer than I think people actually realise it is. And when things are difficult, they find a way. And that's what I'm backing here. It's got to be said, the fixtures aren't in Ipswich's favour either. I would say it's considerably more difficult for them than the other two, but, and this is a big but, Leeds face Southampton on the final day. If it comes down to that, there will be strong fears of Leeds falling apart again. So that's just another ticket in my armoury here. But again, as I've said repeatedly throughout this episode, I'm coming here with not much confidence at all, because you can't approach any of these predictions with much confidence because everything is so damn tight. And this is one of the closest top two races, title races, whatever you want to coin it, that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, what makes you think Leeds are going to drop out at the hands of Leicester and Ipswich? Because other than that Southampton final day season, I mean, they might have the title wrapped up by then.
We have a tendency to look at form and think, oh yeah, they've won 12 games in 13. To maintain that form is a very difficult thing for them to, you know, what would it be? Win like 20 games in, you know, 21 would be a ridiculous feat. So it's not going to continue. They are going to drop points at some stage. And it just depends how much they drop off, how much they blink, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, but Leicester and Ipswich have done that over the past few weeks as well. They've been dropping points. It happens. Yeah, it happens.
Saying is they've had their time to drop points now. Leeds is still to come.
Okay. No, I'm backing Leeds. I think Daniel Farkand knows what he's doing. Whereas Enzo Maresca is new to him, and Kieran McCann is still novice as a manager. Daniel Farkand's been there and done that, and he's got the going up T-shirt twice now.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. Justin,
for the third time.
You are right. You're absolutely right. And they've got some players there who know what it's like to be promoted. As I say, I'm approaching this with very little confidence, but they're the two I'm going with. And I think just maintaining that form is going to be a struggle for Leeds. But if they do it, you know what? Fair play. I will happily take egg all over my face come May. But it's going to be very difficult to do. I mean, one final prediction I'll make is this. I think there's a good chance we see three teams with 100 points this season. No one in Championship history has not been promoted with 90 points or more. And that's essentially guaranteed this year. It's still a possibility that someone gets a 100 and fails to go up, which would be quite insane, wouldn't it? But if each of them wins 6 from 8, they're pretty much there, which is a mad thought.
Yeah, it is a mad thought. It's remarkable that those teams have been able to be as consistent as they have been throughout the season. This is bearing in mind that Leeds didn't start the season particularly well. Ipswich haven't really had a slump. They drew a few games over Christmas and it was a bit uncomfortable for them, but they've been largely very, very good. Both sides have lost. Leeds and Ipswich have lost less games than Leicester as well, which is remarkable because it's like Leicester were never going to lose. So it's an incredible, incredible season. And yes, yeah, parachute payment teams, blah, blah, blah. But this is what the Championship does. It adds an element of chaos. And what we've got now is chaos.
Yeah, well, it's sort of chaos and it has been like that all season. I think the only other thing I would mention is that going back to my point of this title race being a lot closer than people think, with Ipswich only being a point behind Leeds. If it wasn't for that 5-minute collapse against Cardiff, Ipswich would be top of the table by 2 points at this stage. So if that did happen, Justin, and in this alternative reality, Ipswich hadn't had the 5-minute collapse, how much would that alter your picks?
Yeah, but then I can go through the season and go, well, if Leeds didn't concede against Rotherham, blah, blah, blah.
I know, I'm being pedantic here, Justin, but it literally happened 2 weeks ago. So if it didn't happen, would we be heading into this with a completely different mindset from you?
Well, again, it comes down to your logic about winning games. You know, can Ipswich continue winning games? Can Leeds continue winning games? It's a difficult thing to do. So by using your own logic against you, Ryan, and stabbing you with your own knife, no.
That's fair. That's completely fair. Use my logic, sharpen it and twist it all you want. But yeah, that's a fair point. But I don't know. It's ridiculously hard to call at this stage, isn't it? And we could look completely like there's still a good chance Ipswich could win the league. You know, there's so many different twists and turns that could be had there. Ipswich could win the league. Leeds could finish second. We could be completely wrong in a few weeks' time, Justin.
I was going to say, to cover our backs a little bit, let's welcome listeners' predictions, because this is like, I reckon everybody's top six or automatics, playoffs, relegation, everyone's is going to be incredibly different. Yeah. So I'd like to see more from the listeners just to help me feel better, help you feel better.
Yeah. Because otherwise we're going to be losing sleep at night. But anyway, this is what SBK are saying about it. They have Leicester to win the league as the odds-on favourite at 8-11. A £10 bet on that returns £17.29 with SBK. If you agree with Justin and think Leeds will win it, it's 2-1. A £10 bet on that returns £30. As far as automatic promotion is concerned, SBK have Leicester as nailed on, whatever happens, at 1-12. Ipswich to finish in the top two is 11-5. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. What I can promise is it's going to be one hell of a title race / top two race, and I think it's going to go all the way down to the wire. Now it's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Low?
You're fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Low. This is the game where we have to rank four things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. And there's three questions. This week, Justin is providing the questions to me. So what have you got for me, Justin Peach, you bastard?
Well, I've got an international theme just for this first question, actually, because it's the international break, but that's completely, the theme's completely null and void because it's just this first question. So I want you to rank for me the teams who have used the most foreign players in their squad this season.
Ooh, okay. Hit me with them.
The teams you've got are Preston, Hull, Leicester, and Stoke.
Well,
yes, I know what you're going to say.
The obvious answer here is Preston bottom. Surely Preston are bottom. They have to be, don't they? I'm just going through their squad now. Every player I think of is English or Irish. Bar Ismaić up front and maybe a couple of other players. Reese, he's Danish, isn't he? Yeah, Preston have to be bottom. I'm going to stick them bottom. If they're not, then this is a disgrace. I'll put Leicester. They more or less than Hull. Yeah, Leicester have to be top, surely. Then Hull, then Stoke, and then Preston bottom. That makes sense. But you're going to come out with some characters who have made like two appearances all season, aren't you?
Oh, because squad players count. Yeah, of course they do, you numpty.
No.
Okay, so you've got that horrendously wrong. Horrendously
Jesus
wrong.
Christ.
Stoke are top with 23.
Okay.
Then it's Preston with 18.
What the fuck? Are you serious? 18?
Then it's Leicester with 15. And then it's Hull with 14.
18?
18.
Name them. I don't believe you.
I've got the list
this
in front
season.
Of me. I've got this. Patrick Bauer. Patrick Bauer.
You've named one. You've named a German. That's it.
Hold on.
Okay, so they've got Irishman, Canadian, Scotsman, Englishman, Dane, American, Dutchman, Danishman, sorry.
Danishman.
Montenegrin. I'm not seeing 18 here, Justin.
I'm going off the numbers. And now,
are you pulling my pecker right now? Because this doesn't seem right.
Not. Absolutely not. I believe that the Irish are counted as foreign.
Wait, when you say... Oh, okay, right. I see what... You mean how many foreign players they've got? I was counting the different nationalities.
No, foreign players.
Okay, right.
Listen, classic. Listen. No, no, no.
Classic
no.
Justin not reading the question correctly.
It's classic Ryan being a pleb. okay. An incredibly gifted one at that. Next question, because you wasted too much of my time and listeners' time already. I want you to rank who's won the most points this calendar year so far. It surprised me a little bit.
Okay.
Teams are Leicester, QPR, Swansea and Preston.
QPR, Preston. Who's the other one, sorry? Leicester.
Swansea.
Swansea. Ooh. Surely Swansea aren't that high. I reckon Leicester. Leicester have been in poor form, but surely they can't be that low. So I'll put Swansea bottom. Surely Swansea are bottom. That would make no sense if they're not. Then I'll go Preston top. Then, surely Leicester have won more points than QPR. I'll go with that. Preston, Leicester, QPR, Swans.
Who nailed it?
I thought so, yeah.
You've nailed it. I thought it would be a bit trickier because Preston are up there, basically. They've won 21 points and it's Leicester with 20.
I only know that because I read that stat out in Sunday's episode, I think, where only West Brom, Leeds and Ipswich have won more points than Preston this calendar year, which is quite remarkable, really, isn't it?
It is. And that's why they're up there fighting for the playoffs. Mm. And then it's QPR with 19 and then it's Swansea with 17. So Swansea have actually done pretty well. They're sort of mid-table. So Luke Williams deserves a little bit of credit.
Yeah. Well done, Luke. Justin, what's the final? Scott High, Ryan Low.
I want you to rank the cities outside of London which are the most expensive to buy a house in.
Oh, fuck's sake. Okay.
Bristol, Bournemouth, Edinburgh and Oxford.
Very southern. Mm-hmm. Bristol, Oxford, Bournemouth and what was the other one?
Edinburgh.
Surely Edinburgh's bottom.
Why?
I'd say because it's furthest away from London.
It's a capital city.
Yeah, I'll put Edinburgh bottom. Oxford has got to be top, I think, hasn't it? Yeah, I put Oxford top. I think Bristol is quite expensive. But Bournemouth, I don't know. Bournemouth is quite a affluent area, isn't it? It's a coin toss between those two for me. I'll go Bournemouth, second bottom, Bristol second. So Oxford, Bristol, Bournemouth, Edinburgh.
He's bloody nailed it again, ladies and gents. He's nailed it again.
That.
Absolutely spot on.
Dion Dublin, eat your fucking heart out, lad. I'm the new Holmes under the hammer, man. Is he Holmes under the hammer?
It's Holmes under the hammer, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Stairs leading up to the bedroom, that's what it's all about. Oh, yeah, incredible. He's come back from his holiday, refreshed, recharged and ready to go. And he's nailed two out of three questions, albeit after a stumble at the start. So you are right, Oxford's top. Average house price is 446 grand. Ooh. That is Bristol, quite a okay number of 335 grand. Then it's Bournemouth at 328 grand. I imagine that average is brought down by actually Bournemouth maybe being a little bit of a dump because obviously there's a Sandbanks.
Whoa, Bournemouth's nice.
They're the Premier League team. I don't have to talk nice about them.
Okay.
They've got the Sandbanks, which are millions of pounds, and then what's in between? Nothing.
Bournemouth is nice, I think.
Yeah, Sandbanks. Edinburgh, an average of 270k. So there you go.
270k to live in Edinburgh. Bargain, mate. Bargain. I'll tell you what, Justin, I am buzzing after getting to Scott High, Ryan Lowe's. I think that's my best performance of the season, to be honest. So I'm heading into the weekend full of love and laughter. And I hope you are too, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. And this is an announcement. This is a big call for you to get your questions in to us because we are doing a Q&A on Sunday. Send them in to us. I mean, the best way to get noticed and potentially get a shout out on the show is by emailing them into secondtierpod@gmail.com. Alternatively, DMing us on Twitter. We will put out a call for questions at some point this week, but there's a chance if you reply to that message, that tweet, that you may get overlooked. You've got more chance if you send them in via email or DM. So secondtierpod@gmail.com. Also, remember to get in touch with your footballers you met in strange places, as well as Streets Won't Forget Players, because we're still very much enjoying that here on the second tier. But otherwise, we'll see you again on Sunday. But this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.